2017 has seen two major puppy mill busts in Georgia. One in April rescued more than 350 animals. And then last month in Fulton County, authorities found 60 dogs, 53 lizards, a rabbit, and a piranha in a second puppy mill. Animal advocate Jessica Rock is a founding partner at Animal Law Source. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What is the definition of a puppy mill?
Simply put, a puppy mill is essentially a large-scale commercial breeding facility where basically profit is given over the well-being of the dogs or whatever animals. Typically, usually it's dogs, though.
Yeah, and you're saying that because 53 lizards, I imagine most people think of a puppy mill, they don't think of an iguana.
Right.
Right, but they're included.
Sure. Typically, you're dealing with dogs. Most of the time we see it, it does... The bulk of puppy mills usually have dogs, but oftentimes you do see other animals involved as well.
Is a puppy mill the only alternative for someone who maybe doesn't want to rescue a dog from a shelter? And let me just say, you should rescue a dog from a shelter.
Of course.
I say that as a biased rescue mom. But if someone doesn't want to do that, for whatever reason that may be, is the puppy mill their only – are they pretty much – only allowed, able or have the opportunity to buy a dog from a puppy mill?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there are legitimate breeders in the state of Georgia and around the United States who, I just want to say, I am definitely not anti-breeder. And a lot of times when you start talking about the subject, people think, you just are anti-breeder and you only want people to go to a shelter. And I mean, of course, I do want people to go to a shelter when it comes to adopting an animal. We euthanize so many, very healthy, loving animals that need homes in these shelters. And so the fact that people are breeding animals and we're adding to it, obviously, that's frustrating. But you can purchase an animal from a breeder. You just want to make sure that if you do, that you are able to go visit the facility, that you are able to meet the parents of the animal that you are purchasing, meet the person who is breeding the animals, don't meet them in a public place. I mean, there's a lot of things that I can tell you about how to tell the difference between a legitimate breeder and somebody who runs a puppy mill organization. And the problem is a lot of people just don't know what a puppy mill is or know that they even exist or know that their animal is coming from a puppy mill.
And I was just in Philadelphia and I've been traveling a lot lately and seeing signs in a lot of places that say, if you go to a pet store, you're buying a dog from a puppy mill. Is that mostly accurate?
Yes, I would say so. I would say that the majority of the time, if you go to a pet store and buy a puppy there, that you are most likely dealing with a puppy that is coming from a puppy mill. Anytime you have somebody who's breeding animals who legitimately cares about the well-being of the animal is going to meet the people who are adopting the animal. So if they're just selling animals to a pet store for profit, that just goes to show you that their concern is not in the well-being of that animal. It is in making a profit.
And you mentioned the number of animals put down every year. That number is somewhere between 1 and 2 million shelter animals who are euthanized every single year in the United States. So it's a lot.
It's a lot.
But let's talk about the law's relationship to puppy mills. Are there federal laws that govern the breeding of dogs and cats and other pets, or are those mostly state by state?
Well, so this gets kind of complicated. Let me just see if I can sum it up fairly quickly. The USDA does license breeders. So it can be that you have a licensed breeder that is, if all you're asking for is whether or not somebody is USDA licensed or licensed by the state of Georgia to breed animals, that is only going to tell you very little. Puppy mills are often, very often, USDA licensed breeders. Unfortunately, we don't have a law that says you cannot operate a puppy mill. Puppy mills, for the most part, at least I can tell you for sure in the state of Georgia, are not per se illegal, meaning there is nothing in our law that says that you cannot have an operation where you are breeding animals. Now, of course, there's regulations about how many litters an animal can have, and there's, regulations about how many times you can breed an animal and the conditions of the breeding and things like that. And so our Georgia Department of Agriculture is in charge of, checking on these breeders and regulating them. unfortunately, there's only so many of those in the state of Georgia to handle these. And we have a lot more rural areas and a lot more puppy millers than we do people who are regulating them.
We see these horrific, when you see these raids of puppy mills, we see horrible pictures of these.
Horrible.
Yeah, horrible. Are those exceptional? Are those the worst of the worst? When you see these photos of these dogs covered in filth, skinny, diseases that have gone untreated, I mean, is that the exception?
No, unfortunately, I would say that's fairly common. When you are talking about animals who are bred solely for profit, that is the only concern of somebody who's running a puppy mill operation. So oftentimes you're talking about a lack of socialization, a lack of vet care, a lack of food, a lack of, you know, lack of water, lack of proper nutrition. So oftentimes you see a host of diseases and hereditary conditions associated with animals who come from puppy mills. On their face, sometimes they might look that way. Other times they might look okay after they've been bathed and brushed and whatever, but it doesn't mean it's not hiding some other hereditary conditions that they might have or other genetic diseases, which are often common as well.
Yeah, they don't often give them all the vaccines that they're supposed to get. And so that, yeah, they're, if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jessica Rock, founding partner at Animal Law Source. How is the law changing? Because we have had a number of pretty notable decisions lately that relate to our relationship with animals. How do you see the law changing when it comes to animals in general, but pets specifically?
Well, I definitely think that when it comes to the human-animal bond and when it comes to how we treat our animals in the society, I think we've moved a long way even from when I started my career back in the early 2000s. So I think we definitely are seeing a trend in the law of people understanding the need to have serious laws in place for people who abuse animals. And the way that we prosecute puppy mill cases is through our animal cruelty law. So if you are causing pain or suffering to an animal, we can charge you under the animal cruelty law. In terms of puppy mills per se and animals that come from puppy mills, and we may see some legislation coming up this session, but you have to be really careful. And one of the things that I can advise people about is get to know your legislators. Get to know what positions they are taking on bills when it comes to animals, because sometimes there can be language in a certain bill that's disguised as something that would help animals. And at the end of the day, it's not something that's really going to help animals. And that's kind of the easiest layman's term I can use to explain it. But sometimes bills, for example, a particular bill may be disguised as a consumer protection bill, meaning we are going to put something in place that says if you buy an animal from a puppy mill and something's wrong with that animal, we are going to put laws in place that help you get reimbursed for that or be able to return the animal or whatever it is. But sometimes you have to be really careful because the bill may be disguised as really protecting you as a consumer when it really doesn't.
Why is this the focus of your career? You could be making a lot more money doing corporate law. You could be getting a lot more verbal gratitude, right, from actual human clients.
I get that question a lot. You know, this is honestly, I'm a former prosecutor. I was fortunate enough to have been given the opportunity to be the first animal cruelty prosecutor that was assigned to a particularized animal cruelty unit. And that was thanks to my first boss. After I clerked for a judge, I became a prosecutor, and my first prosecutor boss that I had, she's actually a judge in Fulton County now. Her name's Sean LaGrua, and she put me in the position to prosecute animal cruelty cases, and we started doing that, and I always had my regular job as a prosecutor, and for a while I was prosecuting homicide cases and other special victims cases, but I always handled calls from people, calls from law enforcement, calls from animal control. People got to know, hey, you know, if you have a question about an animal case, call Jessica. And so it was something that I loved doing, but I had very little time because I had a full-time job prosecuting, like I said, things like homicide cases. I was given this opportunity to do this full-time, and I could not pass it up because this is so important to me.
And finally, what you would say to someone looking for a dog, you alluded to this earlier, that actually go to their property, right? To see if they're not going to go to a shelter,
right?
Go to the property of the breeder instead of meeting them in a Walmart parking lot.
Correct.
What other guidelines are there?
Well, like I said, I think one of the biggest things that you can do is become an expert in this area. I mean, do your research online, learn about where these animals come from, what it is that you can look for in terms of, you know, like you said, the places you shouldn't go. You should not meet people in a public parking lot. You should
Don't go
to a pet store. You should ask to, if you're going to buy from a breeder, if you're not going to go to a shelter, ask the breeder. You can always ask for papers on the dog. That's only going to, again, tell you so much, but it's just another, you know, it's something else that you can ask for. You can ask to meet the parents of the puppy.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can ask to visit the facility where these puppies are housed and bred and talk to them about how many maybe prior litters they've had and just get an overall feeling of the people who are breeding the dog that you're interested in and look at the conditions of the home where this is taking
place.
Get vet records. Another huge red flag, if you ask for vet records and shot records and that breeder refuses to give them to you, that's another huge red flag that you're potentially dealing with a puppy miller.
Jessica Rock is founding partner at Animal Law Source. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, sounds of Afropunk. But first, a conversation with author Craig Shirley about Newt Gingrich.